Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 811 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I have to believe that one of my greatest contributions to the life and quality of life of my good friend Julio Diaz is that I make him hear this song all the time, even when he's not on the show. Do I succeed, Julio?
I mean, you know, it's not like I didn't grow up with that.
Oh, fine, sure. Like, you knew it before you got to me. Okay, fine, whatever.
I mean, it came out when I was a small child, so yeah, I heard it a lot.
He is the host.
When I met him, I asked if he wanted to hang out by this. I mean,
nice.
I know. No, because we all do. I love you, Julio. Bye.
Let's Go Pensacola. Saturdays at 4 here on News Radio. Also the host of the Pensacola Movie Club, and you can follow them on Facebook. Please do. Blackberry. A movie about something that we all tend to want to forget, but how is this movie?
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know about tend to want to forget. I mean, this is before the iPhone, this was the phone.
That's true.
Yeah, this was, you know, I mean, at one time they had 40% of they basically invented the smartphone and had something like 40% of the market.
And had tactile buttons. The best thing about the BlackBerry was you could feel the keys. Yeah, I love that.
So, I mean, and all of that is in the movie. It's really interesting. I didn't know a whole lot of this backstory beforehand, but I do think it's really interesting, and it's just kind of a rise and fall of this company from, you know, being a couple of guys in the back of a paint store or something like that to, you know, this multi-million-dollar company to it all crashing and burning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's starring Jay Baruchel and Glenn Howerton from Always Sunny. It's got some comedy to it, but it's pretty serious overall, too. And it's, you know, really good. I thought the performances were really great overall. I think Howerton could be a little overbearing in places. He's, like, going for this Tom Cruise meets, like, Tom Cruise is Les Grossman in Tropic Thunder meets Alec Baldwin and Glengarry Glen Ross thing. That's a little over the top sometimes. But overall, really, really good movie, and the reviews are fantastic.
His hair throws me in that. He just looks so different from Sunny.
It's distracting. The hair is distracting.
We got a bunch of other movies. I don't know if we'll be able to get to them all, but Book Club, The Next Chapter, which presumes that I knew there was a first one, but okay, fine. Is this any good?
One, and this is one of those movies. You're not the audience for this. I'm not the audience for this. This is a film that tends to be for older ladies. It's Jane Fonda, Candace Bergen, Mary Steenburgen, and I'm forgetting one of the four. Oh, I think it's Sally Field. I think is the fourth one, if I'm remembering right. I'm starting to get it confused with 80 for Brady. So it's that.
So I've seen the ad, and that's exactly what I thought. I was like, but they're not wearing jerseys in this one. Okay.
No, they're on a girls' trip to Italy instead. So you know, it's that kind of older ladies getting their groove back kind of thing. The first one was popular, so they made another one. Reviews are kind of middling, but again, this is for your mom. It's Mother's Day weekend. This is for your older moms and that sort of thing.
Why didn't they just call it How Hanoi Jane Got Her Groove Back? It's so weird to me, the branding choices people make. I did it. I said it. Hypnotic. How about this one?
Hypnotic. I had high hopes for this one. This is Robert Rodriguez directing Ben Affleck in a action thriller with some kind of supernatural overtones. They debuted like an unfinished version of this at South by Southwest earlier this year, and the buzz was kind of mixed, and apparently finishing the film didn't help that much. Running about 48% on Rotten Tomatoes. I was really hopeful, and you know, I was talking about this last night. You know, South by Southwest is in Austin. That's Robert Rodriguez's home. You know, he lives there. His studio is there. He makes a lot of his films there. You can't get a good audience coming out of South by Southwest for Robert Rodriguez film.
That should tell you what you need to know. Okay. There's a couple of other ones out there. Fool's Paradise and Rally Road. What I don't know. There are a couple
Rally Road Racers, real quick, is just an animated film for the kids. Get pretty decent reviews, from around 75%. Fool's Paradise is the other It's Sunny movie this week. Charlie Day wrote and directed this film, stars in it. He plays a man who's just out of a mental hospital who was mistaken for a big celebrity and put into a big movie, even though he doesn't speak.
That sounds kind of entertaining.
Yeah, it's getting kind of poor man's Blake Edwards, Peter Sellers comparisons.
Okay.
Not great reviews.
All right. What are you guys going to watch next week, Julio?
Well, there is no help but to see the Car Vendors next week. It's Fast 10 or Fast X, or I think it's Fast X because it has all the Fast O's and the Fast A's in it.
I saw the promo. I'm watching this movie. I'm just telling you, that's where I come from.
Yeah.
And it's going to be your phrase that always sticks in my head is big, dumb fun. And that's what you're buying. Julio Diaz,
yeah.
He hosts the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. And also, Let's Go Pensacola 4 o'clock here on News Radio. As always, Julio, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Coming up next, we have the Woe Unto All Who Offend or the Transgressive Memorial Service segment. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Good news is we're not showing any slowdowns or delays. 9 Mile and Jernigan showing an accident, but it looks like that has been moved off to the side. If you have a traffic tip, text it in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Informative news and talk. Local news and talk. And dependable news and talk. Now on the FM dial at 95.3.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. First, Swastika Mountain in Oregon, which has now officially been renamed as Mount Halo by the U.S. Board on Geographic Names. Now, even though this swastika name had come from the local town of Swastika, which drew its source from the cattle brand of a local rancher some 30 years prior to the Nazis, and of course billions of Buddhists, Hindus, and Jains have used the swastika as a symbol of peace and good fortune for over 5,000 years, none of that matters. People today who do not know history think swastikas are for Nazis, and that's all there is to it. As Liebenhaus' treatise on the effective rewriting of history teaches us, the point is not what actually happened in history. The point is to not offend the feelings of those who do not know what actually happened in history. Now, although we do appreciate the effort to rename this highly offensive mountain as Halo in honor of local person of indigenous heritage Chief Halito of the Oncala Kalapuya tribe, we do have a concern. In adapting his name to the more Americanized Halo, we foresee a problem. Some people might, in their ignorance, think this is a reference to the Christian religion's concept of angels coming from high places like mountains and being represented by halos. As such, the name unfortunately carries too much whiff of entanglement between church and state, let alone being pro-Christian. And we recommend another change in 2 to 4 years to a more permanent moniker. Perhaps something completely bland like Mount Mountain, or aspirational like Mount Hope and Change, or educational, such as the mountain formerly known as Mount Swastika and then for a time known as Mount Halo, but now known as Mount Equity. Or something that will stand forever, such as Mount Gender Affirming Care. Or if we're just trying to play it safe, Mountain Number 6. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Liam Morrison, the obnoxious little 12-year-old who dared wear a shirt to his Massachusetts middle school with the words, "There are only two genders," emblazoned on it. Yes, I know. This is a very hurtful sentence, even for me to say out loud, let alone for the tender ears of our beloved otherin in the congregation today to have to hear me say. Not only did this little transphobic twerp wear the shirt to school, no thought at all given to the pain he was causing the people who aren't even students there but might have heard about it on social media, but when told to change it by the wise administrators, he refused. But wait, there's more. He even had the audacity to take his unrepentant cis sexism to the local school board meeting and tell them he has the right to free speech, just like everyone else in his school.
I have been told that my shirt was targeting a protected class. Who is this protected class? Are their feelings more important than my rights? I don't complain when I see pride flags and diversity posters hung throughout the school. Do you know why? Because others have a right to their beliefs just as I do.
What planet do you think this is? Where did he get this absurd idea that all viewpoints are to be treated equally? School is a place where we indoctrinate students into the right ways of thinking and protect them from violent attacks on their gender identity, like the words on Liam's shirt.
On that Tuesday morning, I was taken out of gym class to sit down with two adults for what turned out to be a very uncomfortable talk. I was told that people were complaining about the words on my shirt, that my shirt was making some students feel unsafe. Yes, words on a shirt made people feel unsafe.
Does he not understand the violence of language? The threatening tone that false ideas convey? The felt pain of those poor victims of his t-shirt who might hear about it at other schools? I just don't know where to begin. Now, as to the question of science, an immediate change was, of course, made to the 7th grade biology curriculum so as to properly re-educate all the 12-year-olds as to the real truth about gender fluidity and pansexuality. We only hope we aren't too late to correct the errors apparently flourishing in the darkest corners of the Massachusetts middle school system. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, let us all take a moment to consider the outstanding work being done by the first openly lesbian and BIPOC White House press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, especially in the arena of working to ban guns in America. Now, we know that the problem is that all too many Americans believe that gun ownership is a constitutional right, and so their long, difficult re-education is going to require a lot of patience. But we are so proud of the Biden administration's continual efforts to misuse words for the purpose of making gun owners feel uncomfortable with their mistaken beliefs.
Today, Washington State has become the 10th state in the nation, alongside Washington, D.C., to ban assault weapons and get weapons of war off America's streets.
Now look, even though we don't like to admit it, we certainly understand that the guns we hate aren't really weapons of war, okay? Obviously, no U.S. Marines or Army are going to deploy into combat with a rifle that can only fire one shot at a time. That hasn't been true since the M1 of World War II. But because our goal is to trick Americans into allowing us to restrict and ultimately take away their guns, the first step is to confuse them and use fear to activate their confusion into submission. And the best way we do this is by abusing words. Just as we're taught by the fifth core precept of St. Orwell the Just, he who controls the words people speak controls the thoughts the nation thinks. And control their thoughts, we will. Therefore, we must continue to misuse terms related to guns, and the more exotic sounding the terms are, the better. Thus, we should actively sprinkle our talk with phrases like weapons of war, bump stock, stabilizer brace, high caliber, straw purchase, gun show loophole, lower receiver, barrel shroud, mass casualty, pistol grip, active shooter, flash suppressor, semi-automatic, high-capacity magazine, assault weapon, and of course, our official word of the year for 2022, ghost gun. Kudos to Jimmy McMillan of Chicago First United Woketopian Church of Alinsky Reformed Precinct 3 for that brilliant contribution to the cause. Yes, even though most of us don't actually know what these words mean, the important thing is to use them with confidence and misuse them whenever possible, which I know most of you will do anyway, precisely because so few of us even know what they mean. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Now, before we close, let us also take a moment as an inclusive congregation to celebrate the pending wedding nuptials of our dear members Doug Johnson Smith Corning and Todd Corning Johnson Smith and Mark Smith Corning Johnson, who have recently decided to expand their loving and holy throuple by entering into official pentamory with Gary Fillmore, who of course last year married his beloved green lazy boy sofa. Gary and his sofa will be moving in with Doug, Todd, and Mark at their beanbag commune in Poughkeepsie following the ceremony. with all agreeing to adopt the same last name of Johnson Smith Corning Fillmore Lazy Boy. Gift registry is open at Rooms to Go. Also, there will be no refreshments today as we continue our fasting in solidarity with all the residents of urban food deserts across America. But please do join us in Fellowship Hall for 10 continuous minutes of wailing and moaning, finished off with a certified happiness-free round of 14th century dirges. Tambourines optional. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Is this where I say woe?
826 here on News Radio.
Mount Gender Affirming Care. The Beanbag Commune. And Poughkeepsie's a wonderful town.
You know, it occurs to me that the sofa family isn't going to want to necessarily move to the Beanbag Commune because that feels a little bit like too much temptation.
Dude, I'm going
to...
It's a good thing HR is here. Traffic but roads are fine.
On the fives with the candy. Like,
you're just mocking it. You know, I heard it
That's
what it is. Everything's fine. Good news is we're not showing a whole lot. I do see an accident now on 98, and it's just on the other side of Avalon. It doesn't look like a roadblock, though, right now. 9 Mile and Jernigan still showing that accident. And it looks like, I think that's it so far. Okay, no, North Palafox and Old Palafox and Old Palafox, right where they all meet, behind Car City to the north. Accident, but no roadblock this morning. Certainly, if you see anything, you have a traffic tip, send it in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, and
just
proud
got
of
the
themselves.
Best, I got the best text. Somebody texted at 437-1620. That segment makes me feel unsafe.
I hear you, brother.
I feel seen by your text. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines, David.
You're mocking me.
Title 42 has officially expired. The COVID era policy was lifted just before midnight Eastern last night. The government now returns to a decades-old section of code that officials say carries more severe consequences for migrants crossing the border. A 5.2 magnitude earthquake hit Northern California this morning. The U.S. Geological Survey says the quake hit near Chester and Lake Almanor, and people on Twitter say they felt shaking all the way 120 miles away in Sacramento. Actor Ryan Reynolds calling off his bid to buy the NHL's Ottawa Senators. ESPN reporting that Reynolds and Canadian real estate developer the Remington Group have pulled out of what it's expected to be a bidding war that also includes celebrities like Snoop Dogg and The Weeknd.
Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 828 News Radio 92.3. One interesting case yesterday that came across my desk is the, not the Supreme Court case that affirmed the California, that upheld the California regulations on be kind to the pork when you're raising it, even though you come from another state. That's a very interesting case and a weird jumble of opinions. Like, honestly, I don't even feel like I can explain to you how the consensus was there because it wasn't ideological. It wasn't a normal split. It was all kinds of weird opinion. Anyway, but they did uphold that law. No, the one that I found fascinating is you've got a federal judge who has now ruled that banning Americans under 21 is unconstitutional, which does not surprise me in the wake of other rulings that have come down, including the New York case. But this is a big news item for us here in Florida because, as I assume you're well aware, after Parkland, one of the four key provisions of the post-Parkland, the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas bill that was passed, was the prohibition on 18, 19, and 20-year-olds purchasing rifles and shotguns, you know, long barrel guns, right? Something that is legal under federal law but had been legal but was now not lawful. Now, I oppose this from the start. In fact, I'll be honest, I oppose the prohibition on handguns. I just think that, you know, there's no reason a 19-year-old girl shouldn't be able to carry a gun in her purse. Like, that doesn't make sense to me, okay? But there you go. That's the law in Florida. And now a federal judge in Virginia has ruled that their law banning licensed federal firearm dealers from selling handguns to young adults under 21 violates the Second Amendment and is unconstitutional. U.S. District Court Judge Robert Payne in Richmond would allow, if not overturned, would allow dealers to sell handguns to 18 to 20-year-olds. So this is a big ruling because this is a case or a case like this that is, I think, very likely to go to the Supreme Court at some point. Now, whether it's coming out of Florida, challenges raised against our law here, or other states that have had similar kinds of laws, it seems to me very clear that somebody is going to ask the Supreme Court to rule on the legitimacy of these laws, and the Supreme Court seems very likely to take it up, in my opinion. 830 News Radio 92.3. Coming up next, we have The Wrap with a couple of good guests. It's going to be a lot of fun. It always is. Joining us from the newsroom, David, what do you have coming up, sir?
Well, there's a new business expanding its operations into Century. We'll tell you who right after Fox News.
News. I'm Therese Crowley. New reality without Title 42. Overnight, some Border Patrol agents were camped out warning migrants to turn back, but the surge is already overwhelming agents and facilities, over 10,000 migrants a day. National Border Patrol Council President Brandon Judd pleading.
What we want is we want an honest conversation. We want to be able to discuss and have the American public understand what is truly going on our borders. It's not safe. It's not humane. It is not orderly.
The Mexican government reports triple the number of travel visas for migrants. A federal judge grants Florida's emergency request to pause the Biden administration from mass release of migrants without vetting or court dates. And Marine veteran Daniel Penny surrendered this morning to the Manhattan DA to face manslaughter charges for subduing an erratic homeless man in the subway leading to the chokehold death. America is listening.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 71 degrees right now. It is partly cloudy here in Pensacola. Well, good news for the effort for Pensacola to become the permanent headquarters of the American Magic Sailing Team yesterday. Triumph Gulf Coast has now approved that $8.5 million grant for the Port of Pensacola. It's going to be used to renovate and complete Warehouse 10 to serve as the American Magic's new permanent headquarters, and renovations will include a 50-foot addition to the building, along with the design and construction of a dock and a boat ramp. The city also pursuing another $5.5 million grant from the Governor's Job Growth Grant Fund and the Seaport Transportation Economic Development Program. City leaders say that getting the permanent home of the American Magic here in Pensacola will create 170 local, high-paying jobs. The team has been here on a temporary basis since 2018. The state fire marshal's office investigating a house fire in Escambia County on Empire Drive. According to the Escambia Fire Rescue, crews arrived at the scene. They found the house about 50% covered in flames and smoke. They got it under control quickly, but the home still deemed a total loss. A Brazilian-based company now announcing plans to move its operations into Century, the Algaplast Corporation. That's who's going to be leasing the helicopter technology building over in the Century Industrial Park. The company specializes in plastic injection products, and them moving there is expected to create about 25 jobs in Century over the next several years. Operations expected to begin this summer. The first pieces of equipment will be arriving, and hiring will begin shortly after that. Well, attorneys are continuing to research possible easements in Perdido Key that would allow public access on beaches that were previously thought to be private. Officials are now looking into staffing lifeguards there.
I think if we get lifeguards out there, that would be a huge step in the right direction. But they would absolutely have to have some authority to, when you say get out of the water, get out of the water.
County Administrator Wes Moreno, and he says they'll have to look into just how much authority those lifeguards would have on land that's not owned by the county. On Pensacola Beach, the lifeguards have an almost pseudo-law enforcement type of authority. Another issue Moreno anticipates is hiring enough lifeguards to staff all those beaches at Perdido. Well, Governor DeSantis has signed four bills now that he says will protect Floridians against COVID mandates. He says the legislation will shoot down any mandates that require shots.
If it's emergency use, how can they force you to take it, whether it's a business or whether it's a government? That is wrong, and that will not be allowed in the state of Florida.
And businesses, government agencies, schools are all going to be banned from requiring people to take COVID tests or wear masks to enter their facilities as well. And, well, Title 42 is officially expired, and that may have an effect here in Florida. The policy was designed to keep migrants from crossing the Mexican border for health reasons. Well, the White House sent extra personnel to the border to address what they're thinking could be a massive surge of people trying to cross the border. An official with U.S. Border Patrol in Miami, though, says people who can't enter by land now might try to do so by sea in the Florida Keys. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, and Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
Good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays right now. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip, 437-1620, text it in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We're going to be seeing a beautiful, warm, humid day today with temperatures rising near 85 degrees. Small chance of a few afternoon showers and thunderstorms, 20% chance of rain. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 72. As you go into Saturday, 10% chance of showers with a high near 85. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 71. For Mother's Day Sunday, 20% chance of rain in the afternoon, high near 88. Low on Sunday night near 73. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And still looking a little bit cloudy out there, but 71 degrees right now in Pensacola, 75 in Gulf Breeze, and 69 in Milton.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7.
Let's have a rendezvous.
This week, Gretch Lyles and the Modern Eldorados take the stage at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion, bringing country and rock and roll the way it used to be to Bands on the Beach. Plus, don't miss out on shopping at the Gulfside Market. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Are you curious about marijuana? Florida A&M University established the Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, also known as MARI, to educate the public about medical marijuana use as well as the detrimental health and social impacts of unlawful marijuana use on local communities. Find out more at mmeri.famu.edu.
Your money now seeing a slight increase in the market today. The Dow up 6891 at 3338.42. The S&P 500 up 1075 at 4141.37. And the NASDAQ up 2626 at 1235476. Our 10-year bond rate today not changed at all. It's still at 3.397%. Gold prices are up a couple of dollars at $2,022.70. Silver prices are down, though, at $24.22. Well, Southwest Airlines pilots have now authorized a strike. The Airline Pilots Union said on Thursday its members have approved a strike mandate by an overwhelming majority ahead of the busy travel holidays over the summer. The Southwest Airlines Pilots Association represents about 10,000 pilots, and 99% of those voted in favor of a strike. There's reports that Twitter owner Elon Musk is in advanced talks now to hire NBC Universal executive Linda Yaccarino as a special as the new CEO for the social media platforms. The Wall Street Journal, the first to break that news today, Yaccarino's described as having strong relationships with advertisers and marketing groups, and a meeting on the debt ceiling between President Biden's administration and congressional leaders. Well, that is being postponed until next week. That, according to the Washington Post, they cited sources familiar with the matter. It is 8:39, our next news at 9, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Everybody jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip, hop, the hibbit, hip, 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 hop, you don't stop.
Rap, rap.
I will definitely call you back later, then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's that time of the week when we get together with a couple of friends here in studio, and we just kind of talk through the news of the week, and wherever it goes is where it goes today. Joining me, we have, for the first time, doing this, even though you filled in for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've been
Christmas Eve a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Todd Thompson, who is the president and CEO and Grand Poobah of the Greater Pensacola Area Chamber of Commerce. Grand Poobah is not. I mean, that's. Can we still say Grand Poobah? Can't we say of the Water Buffaloes?
Isn't that's that? Who you are. No, I've been watching you on the news. Oh my God, I love you. That's why that was the joke about Leap.
That's right. And then Meg Burke, who is a repeat. participant, executive director of Pensacola Young Professionals.
Happy to be here.
So between you, we have all the ages.
We do.
Right?
We do.
We have the business owners, and then we have the workers and the students.
Yes. Well, and I do want to let everybody know that with our new agreement with Pensacola Young Professionals, Meg is now on our board of directors.
Yeah. Oh, nice!
Yeah, so we're doing a lot together.
Okay,
and
are we okay to have this meeting? It's not a sunshine violation.
Yeah, no, we're okay. No,
we've got away from that.
We got a lot of meetings.
So. I inadvertently ran into that very early on here. We did a what did we always call it now? The Hobson headliners, and we did one where I had a couple of county commissioners together, and afterwards people were like. You know, I'm like, oh, well, you know, water under the bridge. Right. All right. So what's that?
Lesson learned.
That's right. Lesson learned. Okay. So big news yesterday is a Triumph grant of like $8.5 million to refurbish Warehouse 10 on the port, which is one of the two middle buildings, the big ones that were destroyed by Sally and were skeletons for a while. And now have been we're working on the rebuilding. 9 is the other one. That was originally going to be the Streamline Boats, and that deal just kind of, I don't know, it's all gone now. So now American Magic is going to turn this into a comprehensive headquarters and training facility, and this is great news. Like, they left or whatever, but still, you know, great news, right, Todd?
Absolutely. You know, sailing is one of those sports and industries that brings high-paying jobs, and to have American Magic here with a permanent base is just phenomenal for our community. They're going to be competing on the world stage, and they'll be talking about Pensacola, you know, during those broadcasts. And, you know, we hear about the spies that come here and try to keep an eye on things. So, yeah, it's just a big win for the community, and it's great. Really love to see that we're getting some Triumph dollars to go help this out. And I don't know if we've really tapped into that as much as we should have. So it's very encouraging, very exciting, and just a big win for our community.
And it definitely seems to me like a quick, early, I mean, we're only, 6 months or so into, 7 months into D.C.'s mayorship. And already his approach of let's take off bite-sized chunks of Triumph grants instead of doing the big $50 million comprehensive fix it everything kind of thing. Let's go for one we can get and do and then go back and say, hey, give us a little bit more. Meg, you agree?
100%. I think that's great. And I think it also is going to tap into a tourism industry that we don't have really built out just yet in that sailing community. So this is great.
Is this – I don't know the answer, so I'm asking. Are younger people – excited about American Magic, see it sailing across the bay? Not so much. Do you have a sense of reaction to this kind of a thing?
I think younger people are excited about something fresh and new. It may not necessarily be the fact that it's American Magic, but it's something that's new to our community. You know, there is a little bit of sailing in our community already, but this is a totally different ball game than what we've already got here. So you know, something new comes to the community. They see a big ship. They want to know what's going on.
Yeah, no, I was thinking the same thing. That when the tall ships come, they see a skate park opening. They see a day use marina. They see, you know, new and different things kind of coming all the time. And this is within that general pattern, right? This is, oh, that's kind of exciting. Now, Todd, are you? I know you get kind of paid to be optimistic, right? You get paid to be a Pensacola's a buy, right? Yeah. You know, that's your job, right? You're the Ashton Hayward of, you know, the business community.
Right.
But at the same time, like, how far does your optimism on this go? Because the talk has been, okay, we get American Magic here. We get all of their collateral activities here. We get a maritime sailing training center here. All great stuff. And then the other sailing organizations discover, oh, that Pensacola Bay, that's pretty good. You know, maybe we get more than one. Maybe we get a couple. Maybe this becomes like the racing sailing center of the world, maybe.
Maybe the America's Cup happens here.
Right.
Maybe. You know, so, yeah. I mean, it's...
Because if they win, they get to say, right?
They get to pick.
Yeah.
They get to pick the rules. They get to pick the location. So, you know, I mean, the reason they are here is because we have ideal... you know, conditions for training and for racing. So why not Pensacola?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's very exciting. Oh, my God, the time always goes so fast. We're already into our first, like, it's 8:45.
Sure, we're not showing any slowdowns on the road. 437-1620. Text if you have any traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Oh, I got a text in from Alex Smith, who's D.C. Reef's chief of staff. He says, young people are totally excited about this, about American Magic. At least I am.
Hey, he's a member, cutie. So I take it.
Fair enough. One of the other things that, again, we're kind of like, all this stuff seems to be happening, and most of it takes years to manifest, right? But they all seem to be kind of sort of coming in around the same time. We just opened the skate park last week. The big problem we have with the skate park is people really like it.
It's too popular.
People want to keep skating there after dark, right, after dusk, and, well, we have the lights, you know, because we want to have people there, but that's a great problem, right, Meg?
I think it's awesome. I mean, if people are complaining that there's too many people using a resource that we've now created, I think we're doing the right thing.
Look, we built a park. We built a public amenity that people have been wanting for years, and we kind of, fingers crossed, hoped they'd use it a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, look. Yeah. Right. They're using it a lot.
I think we have worse problems that we have in this community than people overusing a skate park.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, I love what the mayor said on Wednesday when we're talking to him, that because when I talk about keeping it open later, because I'm an advocate for, hey, let it be open basically as long as people want it to be open. And I personally have no problem with any hours, but, you know, I try to be reasonable. I think 10 o'clock or even midnight, 2 and 3 a.m. starts to seem a little odd to me. But then again, maybe not. I don't know. But Mayor Reeves, the first thing that people think is, well, the noise. Mm-hmm. You know, skating is not a quiet activity particularly. And he's like, yeah, but where is it? It's underneath I-110. And how loud is I-110? I'm like, that makes perfect sense. You're not going to notice the skating over the cars on the interstate, right?
No. I mean, you've got that vehicular noise already. So, I was speaking to Eric Goss with the PPD, and they're right there, and they said, you know, the biggest thing they've seen is just, you know, a lot of people have unfortunately been getting injured. Not bad. It doesn't sound like that.
That happens. That's part of skating.
Yeah. But other than that, you know, he said it's been a positive.
Anybody who says they're a skater who hasn't gotten hurt is they're lying about something.
Right.
I don't know which part they're lying. But and that's, you know, I don't know. We don't talk about this an awful lot, but I was a very low grade level skater back in junior high and high school, and I still have my skateboards from back then, and I can skate just enough to not die. Okay, that's my level of skill. But one of the things about skating that John Schell always preaches about, and he's right, is it's a fantastic endeavor for more solo-oriented individuals, you know, loners, okay? Even though they have a group of loners, they're still loners. But it's so difficult. It is so hard physically to do. You fail, a little bit of success, fail, get hurt, fail, hurt, get... I mean, you know, and then you hit something. And the level of, overcoming obstacles... literally overcoming the skating obstacles is the goal, that there's a kind of a persistence and character and resilience and endurance that, you know, people don't talk about that much, but as a sport, it is teaching things that, you know, people need as character traits, right?
I 100% agree. I think things like skateboarding or even marching band, for instance, get a bad rap, you know, like it's nerds, it's loners, it's,
right,
you know, street kids, whatever. But what all of those things are doing is building character for kids and young adults through their older age. Yeah.
It might not be the take an order sort of discipline that you would get more like in a band scenario, but it's discipline that's self-driven and motivated, and, you know, you have to be disciplined. It's incredibly disciplined in that regard. And then now we've got, back to the port for the moment, we've got the project approved for the pickleball courts, which is we say that because that's been the focus, but it's a multi-use indoor sports facility for volleyball and indoor soccer and basketball and convention space, which, you know, Mike Ensley of Pensacon made the great note that, like, people think the Bay Center is big, and the Bay Center is, 23,000 square feet surrounded by a big building.
Right.
This is going to be 50% more than that, surrounded by a shell, you know. So that's, to me, I know people have concerns about the port, and I get their concerns, but to me, that's another, hey, here's a cool thing we're doing.
Right. Well, yeah, and it's a different audience.
Right.
Like you talked about with the skate park, that's a unique audience that's going to use that. So this is another unique audience. It's an amenity for them. Hopefully we can bring in some tournaments and to some outside folks again to drive tourism in the off season. So yeah, it's just another amenity, and it's downtown. So
are your members, and I know you'd probably talk to Walker a bunch with the DIB, you know, are downtown businesses excited about, I mean, I assume the Fish House and Atlas are like thrilled because all of the traffic they're going to get. But, right. You know, it's really close to Palafox. The parking is going to be on the ferry terminal, a lot of it. And so those folks are going to eat. You know, when you go to tournaments, you eat, you spend money at hotels, you go out to do things, entertainment after. This is, to me, it's bringing a whole new slice of people to Pensacola for a different reason who, like always, hey, if we can get them here, then they come back. That seems good to me for business.
Yeah, and I equate it to like the Sun Belt basketball tournament.
You know,
that is a new event where, you know, people from all over the Southeast are coming to Pensacola. Most of them are coming for the first time. And that was one of the things I did during that week, is just like I'd go to Publix and I'd see fans in their gear and I'd talk to them. I'd say, hey, you know, how long are you staying here? And they're like, we're here for the whole week, no matter what happens to our team. I'm here at the beach. I'm staying out, you know, I'm enjoying everything about Pensacola. So I think, again, it's really exposing Pensacola to folks who have not either been here ever or it's been a long time. And, you know, again, this is just another opportunity to do that.
You know, kind of in this sort of vicinity, a story that I have, it's been on my list all week and I just haven't had a chance to talk about it. It happens all the time. You think with 4 hours a day, I could talk about everything I want to. That's just not true, sadly, or whatever. But the NCAA Beach Volleyball Championship that came a few years ago to Gulf Shores, and I thought it was a great get for our area. You know, we don't always think regionally about these things, but, and, you know, maybe traffic to Gulf Shores doesn't necessarily benefit Pensacola as much, but it's still, it's in the vicinity, right? And if we start to become a vicinity, that's useful. Well, they're losing that. It's going away. It's going to be going to California for at least 2 years. It could come back after that. We're not quite sure, but I felt that as a loss. They say $1.5 million every single year economic impact, 2,000 hotel room nights rented for that basically 1 week of NCAA attention. You know, we had what was the one that was up at Ashton Brosnahan? Was it the
SEC soccer?
That's
women's
right,
soccer.
Because you had mentioned the you know, the Sun Belt tournament. These things are big. They're great. Again, bringing eyeballs and families come and they spend money, right? It's for young people, Meg.
Yeah, young people. And I think, you know, everyone. Most of our members are college grads, and so they want to follow their college, no matter what, no matter where they're going. So. We're bringing young people in to see what's going on and follow their teams and experience Pensacola and the area in a way that they've never been able to experience it before.
Yeah, how much of that happened for that tournament? The, you know, somebody who might not necessarily be a soccer fan, but they went to, what, Alabama, LSU, I forget some of the teams that were doing very well in that tournament. Did they turn up to watch it just because it was their team in their hometown?
I believe so, from what I understand, yeah. Like people, and it's the same thing with the Sun Belt, like those sports opportunities are bringing in people that normally don't get to do that. So
no, that's very cool. We're talking to Todd Thompson. He is the president and CEO. And we just learned today, Grand Poobah, of the Pensacola area, Greater Pensacola Area Chamber of Commerce. Also, Meg Burke, executive director of Pensacola Young Professionals, PYP. You sometimes hear them.
Yes. You know them.
You down with PYP?
I am.
That's how you're going to answer me? Not yeah,
you know
me? Thank you. So one of the other things, and I know both of you have been following this pretty closely, is the homelessness. We had Dr. Joe Savage, who was here in town. He gave it was a very interesting presentation of the city council. I can see how it would have ruffled some feathers. Right. I certainly found things I disagreed with. His basic premise was, look, this is how the federal government is doing it. If you want the federal government money, you need to do it this way. And if you do, you'll get the money. And oh, by the way, this works, whatever you might think of it. I did think it was funny that he gives an hour presentation of the joint council county commission meeting and then they just adjourn and they don't talk and they don't say anything. They don't even get to be like, you know, who their names are. They're just all there. And then they thought that was kind of strange. But you guys have both been paying attention to this. What did you think of what you heard this week, Meg?
I feel very hopeful. The fact that DC and Mayor Reeves rather brought him in to have a conversation with our community about fixing our homeless problem, I think it says a lot about our mayor and our community and what priorities are on deck for us. I will say, like, as for us, as an organization, our members are very passionate about this. So any movement I see is, I think, a positive one, regardless of the motives or if it's to get government funding, whatever it is. I think it's obviously a move in the right direction.
Do your members? They're passionate. It seems to me like there's two possible motives, okay? Mm-hmm. Possible motive number one is, I just want to help these people. I feel great compassion for them. The other motive is, I just want to be able to go downtown and not be harassed, which is a big issue, right? We talk about parking, driving people out of town, pardon the mixed metaphor there, but, you know, parking and panhandling and aggressive homelessness, like, these are real problems for our economic driver downtown. Do you have a sense of, is it either or both of those concerns?
For young people, I don't think it's necessarily the harassment idea. I think our members are very passionate about getting people off the streets, helping our community, but also it's a little twofold in that we have an affordable housing issue.
Yeah.
And when we did our quality of life survey a couple years ago, we were polling whether our community, not just young people, our community felt affordable housing was a homelessness issue or a working poor issue, and they think affordable housing is a working poor issue. So there's two different pieces of this. The homelessness puzzle is, if we can fix affordable housing, we're helping the homelessness problem and also our young and lower income families that need housing.
Yeah, most definitely, because you see, you know, people at the margin of housing get squeezed out into homelessness. People at the next tier up get squeezed down into that lower level, which exerts downward pressure on the people who participate in housing, right? Which is everybody. Yep. So you can see the connection between all of these things. And certainly, you know, people who are, it's kind of interesting because we have great sympathy for the people who are working at low wages and have trouble finding housing in an inflationary market. We maybe don't have as much sympathy for the people who we feel are responsible somehow for their homeless, which is, of course, a theme he talked about, the responsible and the not responsible, the deserving and the undeserving. But, you know, housing is something that everybody needs. Yes. Whether you think it's a human right, we disagree, but everybody needs it regardless. Oh, man, the time is flying. Hang on for just a second. Let's get to Candy in here with Traffic on the Fives.
Accident on Highway 98 and Breezy Wind Drive in Gulf Breeze. This is west of Garcon Point on Highway 98. There is a roadblock. It looks like westbound. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620 News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Todd, your thoughts about what you heard with the homeless presentations?
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway to me was, you know, we all have to work together. You know, there are some great organizations and people who are engaged on this homelessness issue. And but if we're going to be successful, you know, you got to bring everybody together, have them all at the table and come up with that plan. That's what he talked about. You have to have that plan. You have to have that buy-in and you know, understanding, okay, these are the things we're looking for as you apply for these funds. If you're not checking those boxes, then, you know, you're not going to get the maximum amount, and you know, it's going to make it more difficult to address the issue. But again, you know, it's talking about housing, it's a supply and demand thing, and we need more supply. That's the biggest thing. Yeah, we've got people coming into our community, and a lot of people who are moving in are the ones that can afford housing.
Right.
And so, you know, you talk about that downward pressure, so they're able to buy a house, but somebody else, you know, who's looking, or they're new to the community and they're looking for a house, you know, it maybe used to be in the 200 range, is now in the 300 range, and, you know, forcing that price up, where we need the supply to help even that out and make it easier for folks who are, you know, working folks who are looking for that housing.
I do have a concern, and it's a political concern, because unless I know the county commission badly, and I don't think I know them badly, I think I know them pretty well. I'm sure Lumen was amending everything that was going on, but I can see Stephen Barry and Jeff Bergosh, and maybe to a degree Robert Bender, and maybe even to a degree Mike Kohler, the four Republicans on the commission, maybe not loving the way the meeting went, maybe on top of that being preached at kind of a liberal take on homelessness, and maybe having this sort of rankled view about not buying into a federal government doing things the way they don't want just to get the federal money. I don't know whether I think the county commission is going to go along with this or not. I hope we can figure this out. I hope they do, but, you know, I suppose we'll see. And in the 15 seconds we have remaining, Warrington Middle School, we cannot possibly. Let's just say we're all hoping that some good solution comes about. Meg Burke, Todd Thompson, thanks so much for joining me today. You guys were the best, and we'll see you soon. Thanks so much.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola. Yeah.